Hello and welcome to the Science Fiction Book Review Podcast. My name is Luke Burridge and this is the show where I review every single science fiction book that I read. There's no set schedule, it's just whenever I finish a book I do the review, stick it up here on the podcast feed for everyone to download and listen to, hopefully enjoy. And today I'm going to be finishing up a series that I started late last year and then finished off, just polished off the last two books in the last few weeks. The series is, of course, the Southern Reach trilogy by Jeff Vandermeer. All of the books came out in 2014. I talked about that in the last few podcasts that I've done about this series. You can actually find them very easily. There's a whole archive page on the Science Fiction Book Review podcast website. So just go to sfbrp.com and click on episode list, and you can sort by author, all of the episodes, sort by author, sort by rating, and this is the best way to find older episodes because on the podcast feed, sometimes it only allows you to list the last 100 episodes or something, so you can go all the way back. 278 episodes we're up to now. There's a few bonus episodes in there and a half episodes. So if you go back to check out Southern Reach number one, Annihilation, that's back on 253, if you're wondering. The last one, Southern Reach Authority, number two, Authority, was the last podcast, 277. Here we are, 278 episodes. Crazy number of podcasts, but you know, I've been going for a few years now. So what do I have to say about this? Yeah, it's weird to actually kind of wrap up a series, because of course I always try and go spoiler free, so I don't want to give away spoilers for the first two books, so I'll see what I can do in that case. But like, if you want to avoid all spoilers, everything that you want to you just don't want to hear anything about it, you're just going in, oh, what did Luke think about the whole series? I think it's a really, really great series. It is one of those books that you read, well, I've not really read anything else by this author, but I kind of almost don't want to read anything else by this author, because you're thinking, oh, this is their masterwork, this is their masterpiece. It's like, you know, reading like the best work of an author and then going back, oh, I wonder what else they did. And it's like, well, that didn't really hold up compared to the other one. And I kind of got a feeling that this has that same vibe. I'm not sure, because I've not really read Jeff Vandermeer's other long-form fiction. I did actually once, I think, download an audiobook of one of his novels, and I started it and I was like, wait a second, this seems a bit weird. And then I realized, yeah, it's actually the third book in a series, and I couldn't find the first book, so I felt a bit stupid. Finch, I think it was called. Anyway, didn't get into that because it was the last book in a series. So yeah, I do think this is one of those series which is going to be a love it or a hate it. If you have read Solaris by Lem, Stanislav Lem, and really enjoyed that book, and thought, yeah, this is the kind of thing that that I want in my science fiction, this kind of science fiction, I think that this is going to be the kind of book for you. And also, if you have read Roadside Picnic by the Stragetsky brothers, both of these stories made into movies by was it Tarkovsky? If those two books are your kind of books, you will really enjoy this, because this trilogy is kind of like those two books combined. I was actually explaining to Juliana, my girlfriend and sometimes co-host on this podcast, I was saying, hey, this series is really good. It's about this area which is sort of like suddenly closed off and it's not really quite sure what's happening. And she's like, oh, that's a bit like Roadside Picnic. And I was like, that's exactly what it's like. I haven't really gone into those comparisons much on the other podcast, but it is quite, you know, it's quite an obvious thing. You can actually find the episodes that I've done about Solaris. I think there's two episodes that we did about on Solaris, and also Roadside Picnic. Let me see here. Roadside Picnic. Back in episode number 88, I reviewed that. Gave it 4 stars. Solaris, 4 stars or 4.5 stars. So these two books are exactly my kind of books. I really enjoy that kind of science fiction. And Area X, the Area X trilogy, the Southern Reach trilogy, is really my kind of thing. Because it is about a weird visitation, not really sure if it's alien. So what I want to just do is actually just kind of compare this series and why I think people have kind of like, they enjoy the first book and the second book not so good. And I read some reviews and lots of people said, oh, well, the third book really lets it down. There's not a good explanation. It's sort of still left really mysterious. And first of all, the book is called Acceptance. And I think the whole point of this book is the acceptance that you're not going to get to the bottom of all the mysteries. And that's what Solaris is about. about it. It's sort of like, hey, there's aliens here, and there's some kind of alien intelligence, but it's intelligence in a way, to a level that we, as humans, we just can't understand what it's going on. And the whole book is about, you know, this alien intelligence trying to communicate with humans, maybe. Is it? Or is it trying to do experiments on again, the whole communication thing happens in a way that, like, the level of that, it happens at such a different level. Like, the communications is just so different and so alien that we're never going to get used to it. And of course, what we have instead is a story about a person and their journey through. And you go, well, at the end of the book, we didn't really learn anything. We did none of the answers about Solaris. What is it? What is it going on? When we didn't get those answers. And the same similar thing with Roadside Picnic as well. Okay, there's this area, there's been a visitation by aliens, and they've left behind this weird technology, and it's interrupting things when people go in there, and it's very dangerous, and lots of people don't get out, but when they do get out, they've got interesting things, and there's these different, yeah, like, weird stuff, and it's like, well, what was it? What do these things do? The little springs, the coils, all these other different bits of, like, these batteries, these alien technologies, what are they? What do they do? And we never get those answers. I mean, there's more answers in that book than maybe Solaris, and maybe this book, the Southern Reach trilogy, this story. But we don't get, we don't really get all the answers, but we do get a story for the humans involved in it. And I thought, and I think I mentioned this in the last episode, I was like, is everything going to be wrapped up cleanly? Are we going to get all the answers to Area X? Are we going to find out what it is? And I said, in some ways, I hope we don't, but we do get complete stories for the characters involved. And thankfully, that's kind of what the final book does. It's not like 100% satisfying, but I think that's the whole point. The book is called Acceptance. We've got to accept that we're not going to get to the bottom of everything. We have to accept that sometimes there will be, you know, things that we don't understand, and that's what this book is about. The whole thing at the start, you know, it's called Annihilation, and people go into it, and you think, oh, okay, that we're going to get some answers, and you end the first book in a trilogy, you're like, okay, it's okay that we don't get any answers. The whole of the second book is about how the people who think they're in control of the situation, or have been put in the control of the situation, they're not in control of the situation. The main character is called Control. He's not in control. The whole book is called Authority. The people who think they have authority don't have authority. And this last book called Acceptance, again, sometimes it's you think, oh, these things are a bit, like, a little bit, you know, a bit on the nose, you know, the character's called Control and he doesn't have control. And in the first book, the characters don't have they don't go by their names. You know, they say, okay, my name is the linguist. I am the biologist. You know, they actually keep their names from each other, so they don't see each other as humans. They just see each other as their team member roles. And, you know, this is the anthropologist and this is the psychologist. And then the second book, you've got these different characters, even the names like the character names where you just go, okay, is this just a normal name? There's one person called Grace. And you're like, okay, Grace is actually a thing. It's not just a name. It's not just a proper noun. It's actually a concept of, you know, of Grace. And there's others like Gloria and Cynthia, you know, a lot of double meanings in a lot of these names. And some not even double meanings, just like single meanings. Like, and then of course in this final book, there is some other people. Like, there's this one character, Ghost Bird, and you're like, okay, well, Ghost Bird isn't really a, you know, like, what is Ghost Bird? And that's the whole thing. Sort of like the identity of Ghost Bird, the reason why it's called Ghost and Bird. And of course, all of these books, the front covers of all the books have got different birds on them front as well. So there's stuff going on there. Ghost Bird is kind of like, it's like, okay, is Ghost Bird a created thing? And this brings back to Solaris, you know, when the wife, I think, the dead wife, or is it the girlfriend? I can't even remember what exactly happens. But you get these characters turning up. Like, some people's their daughters turn up, and other kids turn up, and they are like made. It's Rhea, isn't it? Rhea and Kelvin, and Rhea is like just suddenly turns up, and he's like, okay, and then he kills her, and, you know, all these different things that go into Solaris. You're like, okay, these characters are being created to communicate with humans and interact with humans on that level. And you realize, of course, that's you don't realize, it's pretty much stated throughout these books that the Southern, like the Area X, is doing this as well and putting things back in. And the reasons become clear. I don't want to get into spoilers, but the reasons why that's happening become more clear. So what we actually have here, like I'm saying, is that like the whole point of the titles of the book are quite on the nose. We have to accept that we're not going to get to the bottom of all of this. There are some fantastic reveals throughout all of this, throughout these series. In the first book, you're like, okay, I think I've got everything. We know what's going on. And then just right at the start of the second book, there's these massive twists that you just go, oh, but what I love about this is that they're massive twists for us, the reader. And I guess if some of the characters didn't know what was going on, there would be massive twists there. But there's lots of characters within the book who just know what's going on, but we don't. So when the identity in the second book, the identity of a character in the first book is revealed, that like, okay, actually this person was very much more important and we just thought they were this role, but it turns out they're actually a lot more important within the Southern Reach, but they were there anyway. And you're just like, oh shit, that's really... And then later on you discover more about that person's identity and you're like, oh shit, there's even more going on here. And then you, all this stuff that's happening in the second book, you're like, wow, that character is really weird. Why are they like that? And then in the third book, it's just sort of stated like really obvious that one of the characters just knows that, and they're like, oh yeah, of course he's like that because this happened to him. And you're like, oh yeah, of course, that makes a lot of sense. Why was that never revealed in the whole of the second book? This thing was never revealed. And it's just, and it's not revealed as like, and now we are having the big twist, and now we are having the big surprise, now we are having the big revelation. It nothing happens. There are some big revelations, but often things will be not known to you as a reader and not known to some characters, and then we just switch across into a different character's point of view, and it's just sort of like, yeah, of course that happened. Yeah, why would, like, sure, some people don't know, but like, you, if you'd have thought about it, you would have worked it out. But for them, it's not a big thing. So what I really love about this is that so many of the reveals aren't big reveals in the characters who are revealing them. They're just things that are happening, or just things that have happened, or just facts, or just identities, or, you know, stuff that we can read about. And they've already accepted, I know it's a weird thing to always bring it back to this thing or the title of the book, but they've already accepted what's happened there, but we haven't accepted it yet, as readers, and other characters haven't accepted it, but we don't get a chance to savor it in a way that normally a book or a story would reveal it. It'll be like, and now here we go, here's the big reveal, and what does it mean to the character, and what does it mean to you? For here, we're just like, yeah, this person's like that, because, wait, it doesn't even say this person is like that because this happened to them. It just kind of drops into a conversation or just drops into the narrative that that's what happened in the past, and you're like, oh, that explains everything about this specific character. And it, and that happens numerous times. It's like, this person here is actually, you know, related to that person there in this specific way, and this person here is a connection to that other person in this specific way, and this person over here is like they are because of this, you know. And that just happens time again through the books, but it's not rammed down the throat. So I understand when people, if you're reading this book and you're going, there's all the ends aren't tied up, there's nothing mentioned here, all what's happening isn't, it's not satisfying. But exactly what I wanted, which was kind of like an explanation of a lot of these characters and their motivations of what they're doing and why they're making decisions and why there are all these mysteries and who is in control of this and who is in control of that and who's ordering this and why that person has gone over there. All of those things are answered, but they're not answered directly. Again, you have to kind of do, as a reader, you have to kind of do a little work and put these pieces together in your head and kind of reconstruct what the reality was in the stories in the previous two novels. And that's why it's amazing, actually, just reading a book. So often I'll read the last book in a series and I'll be like, okay, this, all it's doing is completing the story. But I think I mentioned this in my last review, that I actually really want it. Like, sometimes the end of a series will make me go, ah, actually, it casts all the previous action in a new light, in a better light. And so I understand more about it, and I have a greater appreciation for what happened and what the characters went through and what it all meant. And sometimes you read the final book and you're like, oh, stuff was just happening and it all just happened and all of that stuff wasn't that important. I think, what was that? There was a fantasy series that I read like that, and it was just at the end you're like, oh, so it was all just a joke? I can't remember what the fantasy series was. What's it called? The sword, can't remember. Oh yeah, Joe Abercrombie, Last Argument of the First Law trilogy. I got to the end of that, I was like, I really enjoyed that first book, and by the time I got to the end, I was like, well, that's so, did it, like, what was, Like, why did we do that? And why was all that going on? If that person was in charge all the time, why didn't they just do it this way? You know, it kind of wrapped things up in a way which I actually would have preferred that it would have been, you know, it felt like a con. That whole book felt like a con. Was this one, it doesn't, even though this stuff isn't answered. So what we have in this third book is, what else was I going to say? I was going to say more about this being a good trilogy. Oh yeah, so what I like about this book is, and I said in the previous review, I wasn't even sure what genre I was on reading. Like, is it fantasy? Is it science fiction? What is it? It's like a, you know, weird science fiction. It doesn't get weirder. I guess it could get weirder, but like the whole idea that there's weird biological things and psychological things and all these other things. And there were some elements, again, I don't want to spoil it, but I kind of had inklings. I was like, oh, has this got something to do with this? You know, and I was mentioning some of the theories at the end of the last podcast. I don't want to give it away, but I was like, okay, so what caused this? Is it like interdimensional stuff, or is it aliens visiting, or is it, you know, spiritual stuff? Fantasy stuff? Is it like a time wormhole? All of these different things that could cause the weirdness of Area X to be there, like this area that people go into and weird stuff happens to them and they don't come out, or they do come out and they get cancer, or they all just die and are attacked by monsters and weird things happens to their brains and their bodies. All that kind of stuff is like, what could be going on here? Now, what I think that people don't have a similar problem of, like, why is this going on with, say, Roadside Picnic or Solaris, is because it starts off and the book says, okay, we have an alien planet and there is alien stuff here, and we know, and it's alien because, you know, it's this weird technology, and we're going to go there, and it's all technology. Like, it's all, you know, in Solaris, they go there, there's a space station, and they go down to the planet, and it's talking about expeditions, it's talking about science in the way that we know it from science fiction, and we're like, okay, aliens, that's what it is. And in Roadside Picnic, it says, even says, like, okay, aliens visited for 2 days, and then they left, and there was these different Area X's, these different zones. Can't remember the terminology that they actually use in that book, but there's these different places that we can't get into, or if we do get into, it's very dangerous. But it says right at the front, it's sort of like, it is aliens that arrived, and it was some foreign stuff, and we don't understand them, we don't understand the technology, but it's technology that's left behind. Now, what we have in this book is we don't get that declaration from the start. Was this is an alien incursion, this is an alien thing. And right at the start of the second book, there is the character called Control, and he's like, why aren't we just admitting that these are just, it's just aliens? Like, we why don't we just say, yeah, it's aliens arrived, that's what it is. It was a UFO, it something happened, and that's what it is. And all of the other people just aren't accepting that. Like, well, we're not going to do that. And lots of people have these different ideas and thoughts. And at the end, even at the end of this book, even at the end of the trilogy, I think what people are upset about it was, there isn't just a declaration in the book saying it was aliens. Even when you get to the end, like, you can make up your own mind of, like, is it aliens? Is it fantasy? Is it spiritual? What is going on? What is this thing that screwed its way into our world, our reality, and has taken over this whole part? And it never gives you the closure just to say, you know what, it was aliens. And if you want to think that, that's fine. But you've just got to, again, you've just got to accept that this is outside the realm of knowledge of humanity to know what that would be. And I guess if ants had religions and ants had myths and ants had legends and stories and stuff, and then humans turned up, they just go, oh yes, of course, these are aliens. And I'm not saying that there's any kind of mythic stuff going in the background of this sort of, like, of the Southern Reach trilogy. Like, again, I'm not really entirely sure. What I'm trying to say is that, like, it's never like the characters themselves in the book have got to work, they've got to come to a realization of what's going on, and they've got to accept what's going on. And we as readers have kind of got to accept that we're going to have to be like the characters in the book. Why should an answer be spoon-fed to us? And I can totally understand why that is very unsatisfying for some people. And I, you know, just looking at some of the reviews here, and let's have a look down at acceptance. You know, you get these reviews where people give it like a 2-star, you know. Area X is summoned up, and we've just got to, you know, I can't read it straight off the top. Anyway, but quite a few things you're just going, okay, I can't deal with the lack of resolution. And I thought, well, all of these characters have a resolution. Not all of them. Many of these characters have a resolution. They start off, they do this, and they have to, you know, they have to find their own character. They have to find their own place in the world. They've got to understand where they fit in the wider world. And where they fit within Area X and within the hierarchy, or even if they're human or not, all those different kind of things. So, yeah. So, what characters do we have? I made some notes here. Yeah, Ghostbird and Control, they're back in Area X. Oh, yeah. So, let me just say exactly what happens here. Or not exactly what happened. So, the setup of the third book is, if the first book, you really enjoyed it because everything was happening within Area X. The second book, nothing happened in Area X. It happened at the Southern Reach, which is the government agency, which is looking after, guarding, and kind of investigating Area X. So there was Area X in the first book, Southern Reach in the second one, and here is kind of a mix between the two. But a lot of the action then takes place back within the Area X as well. The characters who return to Area X at the end of the first book, at the end of the second book, are back in, and they're investigating and trying to find stuff, and they're meeting up with other people. So all of those characters are back in there. But also what we have is some good flashbacks. So there's this whole mystery about the lighthouse and where the lighthouse was. And that's actually some of my favorite books is something that it's a favorite part of this book is actually tracking down where the people are going to get the answers from or where the answers come from. It says, okay, there was this lighthouse on this island and it had this big glass thing. And then that was moved over to here, but then it was also moved up the coast a bit. I'm like, oh, is that the place where the people went up the coast at the end of the second book? Is that where that lighthouse, is that why they went there? Don't want to give too much away. But anyway, I can't remember. I'd have to probably listen back to the passage about the history of the lighthouse. But then they go back to the lighthouse. So what we actually have then is the backstory about the lighthouse keeper, who we learned quite a bit about in the first book and who we learned even more about in the second book. Now we actually see things from his point of view and from some other characters' point of view. Well, actually from his point of view, but for some other characters, we learn about them as well. For what happened at the very start, like way back when there was this first incident, this first visitation, this first whatever you want to say, which created Area X that put the barrier up around it. You know, we actually read about the stuff that was happening like in the run-up to that and more about the Science and Seance Brigade and the Lighthouse Keeper and some other characters there, and we get to know. And those characters are kind of fleshed out a bit in a way, which, again, I was not expecting. I didn't realize we were going to get some flashbacks back to the start of that, but I really enjoyed those sections. That's probably one of my favorite sections. Those sections of the book were probably my favorite sections, talking about this ex-preacher who came down and learned how to be a lighthouse keeper, and that's what his job was. And the other flashbacks that we get is the director, who we don't read about in the first book at all, but we do get to know about in the second book, the missing director of the Southern Reach, who Control is brought in to replace, and the assistant director got to know, and like, what was her story? What was she doing? And why did she disappear and what was going on there? We get to know a lot more of that from her point of view and what kind of control issues that she had and her authority issues and her annihilation and acceptance issues that were going on with her. That whole, her backstory is filled out. And that's where quite a lot of the stuff, which is, like I say, some of the reveals where it's like, yes, of course, and this is that, and that explains all of that. I was like, oh, and so that's probably one of the things that we actually get more, you know, some more explanation. And I enjoyed that too. So weirdly, the stuff with Control and Grace, the assistant director, and Ghostbird and what they do, which is sort of like the continuation of the main story, is interesting to kind of see where their characters and what happens to them plays out and what's actually happening inside the inside Area X is good. But I actually think some of the backstory part, which explains more about the island and the lighthouse and the tower and the base camp and all those different things within Area X, those interesting locations within Area X and like the boundary of Area X and how big it is. Some of those, like a lot of those things are like kind of more satisfying. Some of the backstory is more satisfying, but it does, the structure of the third book is, I think, a good mix. I think if it would just be like, oh, now let's just do the first book again, but it doesn't, it makes a left turn and plays with time in a way, which is good, sort of like the different timelines that we have, two different time scopes of flashback plus what's happening in the continuation of the story is very well done. So, yeah, I think that's all I have to say about that. And the story-wise, what else have I got here? I made a note saying the writing is just fantastic. But it's so weird that I can't really separate out the writing from the narration, because the narration is really, really good. So when you get these fantastic turns of phrase, they kind of linger with me, not in a way that me reading it, because often I'll be like, you know, if I read a good sentence or a good turn of phrase or a good paragraph or a fun conversation, and a lot of this is actually quite funny. A lot of the stuff that happens in this book, so many things that happen and so many things that the characters say. Again, I can't even bring up any like examples just off the top of my head, but it's not hard reading. Some of it is, you know, like certainly in the second book, the middle of the second book does slow down a bit, but there is actually, these characters are damaged and sad and depressed, but they actually say and do quite fun things, and a lot of the narration is quite fun. But like I say, if I was reading it as text, I'd be able to go back and, you know, read it over again. But when I'm listening to it as an audiobook, normally what I would do is just carry on. I'd be like, oh, that was good. But by then, I don't pause or think about it too much. So what I actually found myself doing is, in this book, I would find myself rewinding quite a lot. So if I actually press pause, like in the middle of a chapter, and was doing something else, listening to the audiobook, I'd actually just like rewind like 15 minutes and just listen to 15 minutes of the audiobook. And I did that quite a few times, really, just went back and listened to like a 15 minute, 10 minute, half hour section of the book again, just to kind of ramp back up into it to actually let it rush out, like go over me. The different time scales are written in different things. Like when we actually go and read about the director, a lot of that is told in second person present tense narrative, so like you do this and you do that and you do this, which was again, it was, I don't think that was needed so much, but it did give it a good immediacy and kind of really did put you there. And because the director was absent throughout all of that second book, so you're always like, okay, there was such a great distance from this character that it's very, very difficult to get to know them. But here, because it's told in the second person, it's like, yeah, you are doing this, you feel this, you are going there, you are having conversations in this bar with this person. It did kind of make that character, I wouldn't say more real, but more central to what you should be thinking about in this book, whereas a lot of the other books are told in, you know, third person, like this person did this, this person did that. So, what else do I want to say? Oh, yeah, the narration. Let's talk about the narrators. We actually have three different narrators overall in this series. It says Caroline McCormick did the first book, which made a lot of sense because it's all female characters in the first book. There's no male characters at all. It's this team of four female scientists. The main character is female. The second book the main character is John Rodriguez, Control, and that's narrated by Bronson Pinchot. And the third book, I was like, okay, Z Sands is the narrator here. But it turns out actually all three of them take some turns. The main narrator is actually Bronson Pinchot again, because he does all of the stuff with the main characters in the in Area X in the third book, and all of the backstory stuff with the lighthouse keeper, which again makes sense because it's a male kind of protagonist at that point. I said Z Sands. I actually think at the beginning of the podcast it's XE Sands. It's spelled XE is the first name. I thought it was Z. I think it's XE Sands is actually what they say. So maybe I'm getting that wrong. She does all the narration from the point of the character of the director, that all that second person narration. And then it says Caroline McCormick is there, but actually what we read is theoretically what we're reading in the first book is the journal of the biologist in the first book. So that's all in first person. You know, I do this, I did this, I go there. And we actually have some more of that journal, another extract of that journal. So I think that's the only narration that she does, which she goes back and there's a bit more of that journal. So that comes up there. So I think that's the only narration that Caroline McCormick does in this book. What I loved about this, and I think I've said this in the previous books, is that the narration is really, really good, because it's not just reading it out and then when character says something, there's, you know, some like a slightly different voice or a different accent. It's really an act acted. It's one of the best performances of an audiobook, especially the second book, I think, with Bronson Pinchot, but he continues there. And the range is better as well, because he's actually doing more characters in this book. And then Z Sands, or XZ Sands, is doing something similar. And again, it just brings it to life in a way that I kind of want to go back and maybe read this. Next time I read this, I'd read it like as a paper book or as an ebook, so I'm actually reading the text rather than having it narrated. But I would definitely recommend this. So I'll do the Audible ad now. audibletrial.com/SFBRP. You can get this book, all three of these, all of this series, Area X, check it out, The Southern Reach Trilogy, Annihilation, Authority, Acceptance. It's one credit, and you can get that book for free. If you start up a free trial, go to audibletrial.com/SFBRP, and by doing that, you get this free book, you start your trial, and if you want to continue the trial, you can, and you get one credit or two credits every month. And there's so many, but this is 26 hours and 41 minutes. Three novels for one credit is really good. I've actually just started a new book, which is called Seven of Us, or Seven Eves, again, different pronunciations there, by Neal Stephenson. And that's a massive book. That's like 36 hours of audiobook. Again, just one credit. You can get all of that for just one credit. It's really good value. Even if you don't continue, this book is yours if you've got if you want to cancel the subscription or the membership, that's no problem at all. All of the books that you have are still yours. You can have them there on your iPhone, on anything. There's 180,000 other books that you could get. So check it out, audibletrial.com/SFBRP, to also help support me and the podcast, etc. So what else do I have to say? I've been going on, like half an hour on this book? There's loads of other stuff that I could talk about, but I want to keep it spoiler-free, and I don't want to, instill too many of my opinions about actually what happens or what the characters are doing or why they're doing stuff. Like, I have my own way of looking at this book, and I think other people do as well. And I think what the strength of the book is that they are there and ready to go. You know, you can take what you want or take your own explanations from, well, not totally your any explanations, but there's a reason why a lot of people have given this book 4 stars, and a lot of people have given this book 2 stars. I don't think many people would give this book 5 stars. And actually, looking at it here, there's very few 5 stars among the on Goodreads. It says here, friends reviews, 36 people have reviewed it, and it's got a 3.85 average. Most people give it 4 stars. I think this is a 4-star book, a 4-star series, because it is so kind of experimental. It is so weird. There's so many distancing devices within this book. It's really difficult to get past the kind of the frustration of, like, in the whole book we don't know anybody's names and we can't connect with these other characters very well as human characters. It's really, really difficult. And the second book, again, we're kind of distanced from the characters, we're distanced from the what's happening. Everything is through all of these different veils, so it's kind of really difficult just to relax into these books. I think it does help in a way to have it read to you as an audiobook, but a lot of people would give this 5 stars, but for me, there is always this kind of nagging thing where it was sort of like, again, if I just accept that this is the kind of book that it is, but it doesn't make it any less, if I just accept the annoyance or accept the frustration or accept the secrecy, like, it would be like, yes, if this is what Jeff Vandermeer is going for, he did it perfectly, and it would be, like, you know, on its own merits, it would be a 5-star book. However, I do these ratings purely by my subjective experience of the book. So I think overall, the way that it works is these books are, now that I look back at it, probably the first book is 4 stars. The second book is probably slightly less, but I gave it 4 stars anyway, because, you know, benefit of the doubt in that way. And the third book is a good wrap up. But overall, I think it's a 4-star series, and this book is kind of like on average, like kind of 4 stars, which means that I think you should read it, but it's not one of those things where you go, oh, like a 5-star book, you just read it now. It's one of the best things. It's not like a life changing experience. It's one of those books which is good and it'll stay with me, and it kind of makes me interested to read Jeff Vandermeer's future work, maybe his past work as well. But overall, a very, very, very a well done book and a very good book, but like sometimes not the most satisfying. But I have kind of explained, I think, that enough now. So there we go. 4-star series, 4-star book. I think it's a good wrap up. If you've enjoyed this review, give me an email. Quite a few people have been getting in contact. An email, also go over to luke@juggler.net. I do reply to every single email that I get. If you want to recommend a good book to me, you can do it by email. The other way to do it is actually go over to the SFBRP listener group on goodreads.com. I outsource all of my community kind of stuff for the SFBRP there, so you can chat with other SFBRP listeners on the SFBRP listener group there. You can find that on Goodreads. Just do a search. I'm sure you'll be able to find it. If you, there's a whole thread there called books I would like to see reviewed. I'm sure, I think it's called that. So just put it there. And if you actually give an explanation, if you just list a book, I won't read it. If you actually give a reason why I should read it, I'll probably be a lot more interested in reading it. And if other people agree with you and say, yes, you should read this. And that's one of the reasons why I'm going to be, that I started the Neal Stephenson epic hard science fiction tome, which is 7 of Us, is because it was recommended by so many listeners, and that's the reason I'm reading it, and it's okay. Some of it's good. It's so big, I think it's it's going to be a weird review of that one there. So if you like Solaris, if you like Roadside Picnic, you check this out. If you don't like this, if you just like something weird that you're not quite sure what you're reading, check out the Southern Reach trilogy. I think it's I think it is one of those masterworks which won't work for everyone, but yeah. Good. So that's it. Thanks a lot for listening. And oh, follow me on Twitter. I'm at Luke Burridge there. I think I'm up to like just under 1,000 Twitter followers. So go and follow me on there so I can, so in the next month I can bump past 1,000 followers on Twitter. That might be really good fun. So at Luke Burridge there, luke@juggler.net to email me. That's it for me. Thanks a lot for listening, and I'll catch you next time.